It's Life and Taxes here on the TalkStation FM 107.1. Joining us this afternoon, we have Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. And Andrew, we're getting to the end of the year, so I'm guessing things are getting pretty busy for you.
No doubt about it. Good afternoon,
Good
Lockwood.
Good afternoon.
End of the year. Here we are in December, and the time is ticking on 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things at Harvell and Collins. We are busy with all of our end-of-the-year preparations. A lot of clients trying to get their estate matters taken care of prior to the holiday season, whether it's planning or whether it's finishing up an administration of an estate mm-hmm. or trust so we don't go into the next calendar year. So, yes, Lockwood, we're extremely busy taking care of those last-minute items.
And what is your issue today?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I just wanted to bring some experiences that I've had over the last couple of weeks and talk about some negatives and some positives relative to the IRS so far. So one of the interesting things, and I thought our listeners would find this intriguing. So this past week, I get on the phone to call the IRS,
mm-hmm.
and there is a special IRS practitioner priority line that tax practitioners are allowed to call.
Right. That's the reason we do business with you, because you can get an answer.
Correct. So to get that phone call answered, you call the line, you got to give them your information, prove mm-hmm. who you are, you know, that you're a tax professional, and then you can, as long as you have the power of attorney, the Form 2848 mm-hmm. on file, you can talk about tax matters just as if you were the taxpayer.
Gotcha.
All right. So go to call this past week, and all of a sudden, the very first thing that comes out other than, welcome, you've reached the IRS, I need you to complete this math equation.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was 6 plus 4 equals, so I type in 10, and then it passes me through to a queue.
Uh-huh.
And I start thinking, I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here? And so, of course, I'm curious, so I have to Google and say, what is going on? You know, is this now, did somebody hack the practitioner priority line? I mean, why is this, this has never happened before, answer a math equation. Well, lo and behold, Lockwood, it turns out that large tax companies were either using bots or paying people to sit on hold with the IRS.
That goes back to the fact that you told me earlier this year that you gave up. You were
yes.
on the line for like 25
Correct.
Or 30 minutes.
45 minutes, and then all of a sudden it hangs up on you.
Right.
Yeah, that's been something that's happened to us, unfortunately. So, you know, it's very interesting. You know, you can see that the IRS is trying to stop these bots, computers that are making all of these calls into the mm-hmm. the practitioner priority line, who are just holding up all the positions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when they get through, of course, they'll connect to a real person who can then have their taxpayer's issue addressed. So it was really, really interesting to hear that. And, you know, hopefully a step in the right direction. You know, the IRS has just got to get better with some kind of technology, because I'll be honest with you, Lockwood, I didn't get my call answered.
That's what
the other
I was
day.
Wondering.
Even going through the queue system, and they just implemented this week. So, you know, obviously they're probably still working bugs out. But of course, I select, you know, to go help a business client, select the business option, and it goes, due to the high call volume, we're unable to help you at this moment. Call back, you know, another time. It's literally the message that I got. So it's really, it's disconcerting on one hand that we can't get through to the IRS to help business clients, and then it's and then the other thing that I'm going to tell you how it affects the situations that we're working on. The other thing is that maybe it's nice that the IRS is addressing some of these issues to hopefully help the lines of communication open, and they really need to embrace some technology here, because, you know, whether it be some type of go to the IRS website, mm-hmm. log in with your credentials, right. and then be able to access an individual through some type of chat mechanism or something similar to that. I mean, we just don't have those things at our disposal right now. And frankly, it's difficult when you do not know a client situation and you're trying to get information so you can prepare what needs to be prepared to get them back in good standing. It's very frustrating when you can't get the answers as to where they stand currently with the IRS.
There's one other item here. We bring this back to the fact that we started the program. Here we are at the end of the year. So there's a time issue, possibly.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, what I would tell you is the effect of this is we talked about the mountain of paperwork at the IRS and how they're having to go through it. I mean, the only logical conclusion that you can reach, Lockwood, is, okay, we're going to go with what we think. And that's dangerous because, you know, we can't know what the IRS has. But, you know, the alternative is you can't just sit back and do nothing. So you have to say, based upon the evidence that I have before me, this is what I think we need to do. Let's submit it and let's let them tell me I'm wrong rather than, you know, not do anything. Let's be proactive rather than just sit here and just go, well, we can't get in touch with the IRS. There's nothing we can do. No, let's move forward with the best information that we have available. And if it turns out that, you know, maybe one of those returns was filed, so we filed it again mistakenly, we'll let them tell us that by just submitting the return.
Okay. In light of the fact that you are a professional, and you're, and I say that, we're talking with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins, a tax attorney, and you make a good faith effort to accomplish a task, and it creates a problem for your client, the filer, that might end up at the penalty. The fact that you've gone through this effort and you can document it in some fashion, does that mitigate or eliminate the potential of a penalty?
Yeah, the question always is reasonable cause, Lockwood. Right. That's when you're talking about penalty abatement. And so, yes, I think, you know, to show that you've acted reasonably, you've hired a tax professional. That tax professional has tried to do X. Let's get an affidavit, you know, saying what means they did to be able to try to access this information and why the delay occurred. Yeah, you're right. I mean, as far as penalty relief goes, that shows that you're being reasonable as a taxpayer.
Okay. Again, one of the benefits of working with a professional, and I'm talking with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. By the way, that's Harvell and Collins, spell out the word and, harvellandcollins.com, or give him a call, 252-726-9050. Okay, you've justified the reason why I have you as my tax attorney.
So, one of the other things, and I'll say the IRS on this front has gotten a little bit better, is I noticed we've been filing some extended returns out for a couple of our estates and trusts. Mm-hmm. And before, you know, I think I've had conversations with you in the past. Like, I've been waiting on a refund check for 2 years for some of these files. Yeah. Well, the good news is that the ones I've been filing over the course of the last several months, we've been getting refund checks within a month of these filings. So it seems like that the returns that are now being filed, they're at least processing those and getting those refunds out. Whereas before, during the COVID era, they were getting the returns and then just sitting on them, for lack of a better term. We do have some problems with when you file a final tax return for a decedent, we're running into some issues for they send out this identity theft potential letter and then trying to verify the identity and then not being able to do it online. And then guess what your alternative is, Lockwood? Give them a call. So then you're in that same boat.
Loop. You're back in that loop.
Which is, I called yesterday the fraud hotline to try to get through and deal with this issue. And of course I get the same response, which is, you know, we're unable to complete your call at this time, call back later. So it's one of those things. I'm glad the refund situation is getting better. But they've got to do something about this identity theft potential when we know we're filing the last decedent's last tax return, but yet we cannot verify this identity. And guess what they're going to do? Hold that refund check. You know, that's a problem. So
that goes to the issue of the challenges related to fraud. And by the way, that is not that's not someone else. Everybody is prone to the potential of fraud. So that's important. But I see your issue there.
Yeah.
The other question related to COVID, you brought that up a moment ago. And of course, now there's some discussion and possibility of a resurgence of COVID, and you've got RSV and flu and all these other concerns, and the probability that we will have a slowdown in the winter months. My question to you is, have we accelerated any of our operations? And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking IRS that have, if you will, sort of flatten the curve, love that term, so that it basically improves some situations, lessons learned from COVID. Have there been any lessons learned that you think IRS is instituting?
Well, I think that the fact that these refunds are getting processed more quickly, I mean, I think is a sign that they're getting through the old mail. I think the fact they stopped sending out those notices, you remember I told you the automatic notices, they just stopped sending those because there were so many errors because the returns had been filed, were sitting in the queue to be processed. Yet the IRS send you a notice saying you have not filed your return. And then what does that do? That prompts a response, you know, either verbally or written, which again creates another backlog. So I hope they learn those lessons, Lockwood, which is, you know, sometimes, you know, it's better to cut off the automatic notices if you run into a problem where you're not being able to process returns. So that's something I hope they learn. Obviously, right now, they seem to be processing returns fairly quickly. There's just some things they've got to get. They got to get the phone line figured out or some other alternative because that's frustrating for the general public as well as us practitioners. And then, you know, I think that they've got to get, you know, some of these, like I mentioned, the fraud issue. Right. It's good they're flagging things because you don't want to send out a refund check, you know, to some scammer out there. But again, that tool that they're using is still ripe with some problems and some issues. There should be an easier way to verify that information.
You know, in light of the fact that you mentioned the sending the refunds to the wrong party or to the wrong address, which has happened on numerous occasions. Yeah. And a quick question on that. That has happened. There have been instances where folks have not received their refund. It went to the wrong address, and was scammed for all intents and purposes. The appropriate recipient who did not get their refund check, are they able to get their refund check, or does IRS say we've made the payment?
Yeah, good question. So of course, you know, you get into making a claim for refund again, and then, you know, it becomes a litigation type matter. I hate to say that, but I mean, that's the way it works. And sometimes the IRS will say, sorry, we believe we did what was required. Or other times they may say, okay, we understand your position. But unfortunately, you have to go through the court system potentially in order to rectify those type of issues. But everyone's a little bit different, all the facts and circumstances. So if you run into something like that, you know, come and sit down with us at Harbell and Collins and let us steer you in the right direction about what needs to be done. Another just end-of-the-year thing we had mentioned previously about the possibility of a tax bill getting passed in this lame duck session of Congress. Been following it closely. It seems that one of the big things on the table, child tax credit. We mentioned that, the enhanced child tax credit. So right now, for this particular year, we're at just the old level, the $2,000 tax credit level. The enhanced child tax credit level is $3,000 for children over six, $3,600 for children under six. So, you know, that's a big amount of dollars there. And basically, the two sides are working on potentially putting the child tax credit together with that research and development credit that we talked about that's going to be starting to be phased out in 2023. So the big question is Congress willing to do anything? And, you know, I've heard it's about a coin flip about whether or not it's going to take place and whether something would get passed. But that's something to keep our eyes out. Unfortunately, as far as planning goes, you know, I tell you, there's no real way to plan at this point in time because we don't know which way it's going to go. So, you know, treat yourself as if you're only going to get that $2,000. I would not go and say, oh, well, we think something's going to happen. So, you know, let's plan on the $3,600 or the $3,000 or the enhanced child tax credit. I think it's best at this point in time to assume nothing's going to get done because, you know, frankly, time's ticking. We're at the end of the year, lame duck session of Congress. We know we're going to have a Republican-controlled House. Which is going to have divided government starting in January. So the motivation to get something done here at the 11th hour just may not come to fruition. So I'll keep the listeners informed on that one, but that's something that just really hasn't changed. It's still just completely up in the air, Lockwood.
All right, we're coming to the end of the year. Real quick question. You've got final filings that you've got to do, things of this nature. Case in point, I've got situations such as RMDs, required minimum distributions. What's the time frame for getting that done?
Yeah, so required minimum distributions, you have typically up until the end of the year, can be all the way out till the tax filing deadline, so April. So you want to make sure that you get those timing correct depending on your situation.
Okay.
You know, there's ways to contribute to an IRA after the end of the calendar year. We'll get into that. Maybe get into that in our next program.
Yeah.
And talk about the timing issues relative to retirement accounts, because that's a big one, Lockwood.
All right. That's Andrew Foster at Harvell & Collins. Again, that number, 252-726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Andrew, thanks for your time.